I want to really share some very specific things that the Lord placed on my heart. So let's draw back into Him. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You. We thank You for the great preparation that You're doing for us, Lord. Father, I ask for the anointing to re-hit this place, to hit every person, meet every need, Lord God. Father, we come and we just bow down to Your great name. We bow down to what You want to show us and prepare us, Lord God. So, Holy Spirit, I welcome You back into this sanctuary. I ask that You send Your angels, Lord, all around this place, inside and out. And we come to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to start out talking about it's from Lana Vassar. Does anybody know who Lana Vassar is? Okay. Lana Vassar, I listen to her quite often. And she is a prophetess of the Lord. And this came to me in February of 2010. And the Lord had me hold on to it all this time. And it was actually sent also to the House of Prayer. And she does that quite often. And so I'm not advertising her. Please don't misunderstand, but the Lord uses different people for a purpose. And the Lord told me to get it out. And she says, "My precious church, my house is called a house of prayer. My house is to be a place that my bride comes together to praise me, to worship me, to seek me, to learn about me. I want to empower, I want to equip, and I want you to move forth to minister to the people of this world." So often we look at us, we look at ourselves, we look at the area that we are in. And the Lord wants you to think bigger. The podcast that is going on right now is going all over the world. And we've actually got into many Arab countries, Islamic countries, and the word is going forth. And so what I want you to know is thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen.
And thank you that we might not be able to go there, but the Lord wants the bride to be prepared and not to forget Him. He says, "I'm calling many of you to come deeper. I want a deep intimacy with you. I want you to rest in me. I want you to find time in my presence. Your agenda is not important to me." "Come back.
Yes.
And rest your head on my chest. And listen to my heart. Listen to what I am saying. And let me draw you closer again. For this world is going to change drastically. And if you do not have radical love,
amen.
If you would let me have radical love for you, you can grow deeper in intimacy with me. I am not interested in man's plans or your programs. I am interested that you know me. There's been an incredible assignment released against many of my people, my church people, my bride. Many have been targeted, and many of you have been harassed. But I want you to know it can no longer go on. I say to you, come to me. Let me bathe your wounds in the balm of Gilead. For this is the place that you need to be. You will see many that have been hurt besides yourself. And I am healing them. And I am sending many of you with special anointings to heal the hurt. No assignment that the enemy will bring against you will prosper. The assignment has been targeted upon many of you who are going to be used greatly. So if you haven't been under attack, you have not been in my presence. Because you're not a threat to the enemy.
Oh boy.
Whoa.
So I want to impart to you my love, my healing, my truth to many of you. The enemy is harassing many of you in every area and even areas that you are so surprised about. But I say to you this day, do not be discouraged. Come into my presence. Rest before me. And let me minister to your hearts while filling yourself up with my word. It's going to bring freedom to you. Because if you do not have freedom, how can you help others receive freedom?
That's right.
If you do not have peace, how can you give peace to others?
Amen.
I'm about to release favor upon many congregations, upon many people who will draw closer to me, and my glory will fall upon them, and you will shine brightly like the noonday sun. And many will come from far away to see my moving in your midst. So my precious bride, repent before me. Do not let things control you. Come, let me heal your wounds today. Amen.
Amen.
That was so powerful. And when the Lord told me to pull that, I thought, I don't even know where it is, Lord. But the purpose of these lights is supposed to be him burning. His heart burning for you. I don't care whether you're male or female, everybody wants to be loved. So I said to the girls that I felt like the Lord wanted me to say that, and I also wanted to talk about some different types of mantles. Some people call them anointings, and I really want to spend time in it. So that's where I'm going to go next. These are the things that the Lord laid on my heart. And I thought, Lord, I can't even write this fast. And what I do, and I want to share this with you, is I get a spiral notebook. Many of my people know that here at church. I have notebooks all over my house. And so wherever I'm at, I always write down what the Lord gives to me. And that's what I used to do. But then the Lord said to me, you need to date it. You need to put the time. So if you've been a part of the Women of Influence, I already gave you the watches. So when you receive something at 3:00 in the morning, that is when witchcraft is stirring. It's not always at midnight. And so when you understand those watches from the Word of God, you can understand why the Lord wakes you up at a certain time. And sometimes you might not get it. But what I've learned is that I get into his presence. Sometimes I just pray to him. Sometimes I sing to him. But I just let him show me what he's trying to show me, which isn't an easy thing, believe me. But these are the ones that the Lord wanted you to hear about, and the girls will add to them. I want to talk about the Elijah anointing, the Issachar anointing, the Esther anointing. For such a time as this, that's what's happening right now, as well as the Ishkar. The Deborah anointing. The Hannah anointing. The Anna anointing. and the Joshua anointing. So I was preparing this, writing it down, and then the Lord, and I don't know if you heard it yesterday or not, the Lord said to me that he wanted me to understand the Zadok anointing.
Yes, yes.
And I said to the Lord, well, what's that? And the Zadok anointing was the anointing that he's given to his church and his bridegroom to have that power to know who you are in him. So when we pray and we do this tunnel and you receive these anointings, the Lord said that this particular anointing was having the sword, the word of God. And the vision that was given was that he was anointing his bride. He was anointing the shoulders and then the head.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's really exciting, Lord. That went along to this Zadok anointing. And so what else do you want me to understand? And he goes, well, you can't even hold that sword. And I thought, I can hold that sword. I don't know about you. That's what I said to the Lord. And he goes, that is understanding the word. So when you're giving the word, when you're telling people that the word will set them free, it's like without the Lord's help, without the Holy Spirit helping you, you can't hold that sword.
Yes. Oh,
that it's like you're going into your own thing. Mm-hmm. And what he wants you to do is to realize that his hands come around you and help you hold up that word,
yes.
That sword. And that is, to me, that is so powerful.
Yes.
I couldn't even contain it. So as Joe and I were having praise and worship music going on in the house, I said, Joe, I got to tell you about this. You ever heard of the Zadok anointing? And he goes, I don't think so. So we're looking it up and everything, and the Lord just starts downloading. That's what happens. But it is for you. He wants you to have that sword.
Yes.
He wants you to know that word. How powerful is that? So I wanted to share that right away. But what is the Elijah anointing? The Elijah anointing is to take down the idols on the land. Mm-hmm. To sum it up. The Issachar anointing, which I love to talk about, is knowing the times and the seasons. What is going on? I mean this not, I don't mean to say this in the wrong way, but there are many churches, there are many brides, there are that don't even know what's going on. Don't even know what's going on in the nation. And my husband even knows it greater than I do. You know, the Lord gives me wisdom or revelation about something, and Joe go, oh yeah, that's so and so, or this is that way, or the media is such a liar, and going on and on and on. You know, when we come together, we're a powerful force. When the army comes together,
yes.
We're powerful.
Yes, we are.
We're powerful. And so the Issachar anointing is knowing what is going on all the time. The study that we're going to start in January here is that I want to do the Harbinger number 2.
Yes.
And if you don't understand who the Jezebel is and you don't understand what is going on with government, the Lord is wanting you to understand. So when you get that anointing, you know how to come against that Jezebel spirit that is stepping up.
Yeah.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So the Issachar anointing is telling you what's going on. Even Jesus does not know when he's returning, but God the Father does. But he says, bride, get prepared.
Yes.
I don't know about you. I love my family. And I want to know that they're going to get raptured right with me. And you know what? There are people that argue over the first rapture, the mid-rapture, this rapture. Who cares?
Right. That's right.
Amen. I mean, who cares?
Who cares?
Just get ready.
Yes.
So in the middle of the night, if you hear the shofar blowing, he's coming for you. And it's kind of like a minister to many, many people. You've been praying for your kids, and maybe they're not walking right, but you gave them, you dedicated them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know when the rapture comes, they're going.
Yes.
Some people don't believe that way. I do.
Why?
Never, never quit. Never quit lifting them up. Never. The Esther anointing deals with prayer, deals with God can use anyone, and is making royal decrees. The Deborah anointing, I'm just kind of highlighting them. The Deborah anointing is standing for intercession. The church that Joe and I belong to and our children were raised in for 29 years was full gospel, Pentecostal. We moved, we rolled in the aisles, we worshiped the Lord, we did everything. Hallelujah. And we didn't mind being there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday for choir practice. We just lived there. And so we don't have that anymore. You're lucky if you can get anybody to show up.
That's right.
Or show up on Sunday night. And the people always say, well, church is going to be a little bit different now. You know, now we're going to have more groups at the home and stuff like that. I have no problem with that. But God calls every one of us to be interceding for each other, interceding for the group, interceding all the time. And we had, honestly, this is the truth. While the service was going on, we had a group of intercessors that never walked out of the intercession room. That's all they did, was intercede for the whole service. Do we have that anymore? No. Do people even know what it's about? No. Intercession is not about you. It is about Him.
Yes.
It's about the kingdom. It's about coming, laying yourself, and just speaking in the heavenly language to the Lord for things that you don't even know that's going on. Could be in another country. It could be a city. It could be whatever. But intercession should go on all the time. And I remember one time in particular, which we need this back so bad, this Deborah anointing, is that people rise up and start praying and marching. When something's real critical in my household, you can ask my daughter-in-law, I'm a mover. It's very, very hard for me to go, dear Jesus. I'm praying for my grandson. I don't need that. I start marching. I go around the room. Lord, I'm bringing my grandson home to you. I'm telling you right now, he's a warrior for you, Lord God. I'm asking for protection over him. Lord, I'm bringing him up to you. I'm asking every place that he walks, he's protected. You know, we need that.
Yes.
We need to start stirring ourselves.
Amen.
And you know what? Sometimes I don't even want to, like, get out of bed. You know, my legs don't work right all the time. But when the more you march, the more you start yelling, the more you start screaming, people go, you don't need to do that. I do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I want the enemy to know something. Don't touch my family.
Amen. Amen.
I serve you notice. Don't you dare touch my marriage. Don't you dare.
Uh-huh.
Don't you dare put one of my grandkids in ICU. Don't you dare. Who do you think you are?
That's right.
You've got to get that boldness inside of you. That's a Deborah anointing. And on top of it, the more you come into his presence, the more he gives you strategies.
Yes.
He tells you how to pray that.
Yes.
He shows you how to pray that. What time to pray that.
Yes.
It's powerful. It's so powerful. And what I do is I have these special books that I pray. They're all scriptural based, and I want someone to think I'm just reading a book. And I'll put down my granddaughter. She is the princess. Lord, I'm just reminding you, she's my princess. And I'll put her name down. Or I'll say, you know, Lord, thank you for giving me my husband. And I'll put his name in that book. So when I open, sometimes I kind of chuckle, but I'll go back and I go, oh yeah, let's see it. Yeah, I did pray about that. Mm-hmm. I did pray about that and such thing. That's a Deborah anointing. I know I got that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I want things to be done that's right. What about a Hannah anointing? Mm-hmm. A Hannah anointing She was childless. I never thought I'd have kids. Never. I was sharing with someone out front here a little bit ago, probably Monday night, or maybe it was after, I don't know. And we were talking about, oh, she was showing pictures of her grandbabies, her grandbaby, her granddaughter. And I thought, oh, how powerful is that? That we were sharing this, you know, and she was sharing her life and sharing about getting married and having her children late. Don't you ever think that the Lord won't bless your womb. Because what you do is you put your hands on your stomach, and this is for someone, and you just say, you know what, Lord, this womb is going to be blessed. I'm going to have a child. This child is going to serve you the rest of their life. And Hannah was blessed that way. There was someone here that was very young. I don't know who she was, but there was a great anointing that was upon her, and I said, Lord, I can't get to her. I can't get to her. But all of a sudden, she came in front of me, and I told her that she had a ministry that God was going to use her in that was so different than anybody else's ministry. And she got really excited. You see, the Lord provided that time. So this Hannah anointing, don't ever give up on that. And then the Anna anointing is the prayer movement. Got the house of prayer in Traverse City.
Amen.
I don't think they got a house of prayer over here, but that house of prayer in Traverse City, it's all over. I don't want to be misunderstood. But it's a prayer movement. Sometimes you're fasting. Sometimes you're just praying in there. Sometimes the Lord's brought different musicians over there. I remember one time before I did my tent revival, I was in Traverse City, and I just zoomed through the doors, and I sat in the back, you know? And I said, Lord, just cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, cover me, Lord. And I got up and left. So what I'm saying is the Anna anointing, Anna was one of the women that were in the temple. And she got to see the Messiah.
Mm.
I know about you, but I want to know I'm in the temple. I want him to know that he can use me. There's a Joshua anointing. I like that. I like Joshua. Because, you see, he had to have some spunk to him. He had to know that when he went over there, he brought that younger generation into the promised land. We got this younger generation that is so confused they don't know what they're doing. There's no leadership. There's no discipline. There's no, they just don't know. But I'll tell you what, I've seen those kids praise the Lord. I've seen those kids sing. I've seen little five-year-olds get up and preach that make some of us older people, not look so good. I'm telling you, you might have that Joshua anointing upon you, either to help them or to be a part of them or whatever. You see, I would rather be with younger people than many of us sitting here. Do you know why? Because they ain't scared of nothing.
That's right. Amen.
They like to move. If I said, okay, we're going out that door right now. Jesus is going with us. Let's go out that door. Man, they'd be right out that door. They don't question it. They come up here. But they got to know they can trust you.
Yes.
So if God's given you that Joshua anointing, how powerful that is. That's for the younger generation. Well, some of us too. I keep telling myself I'm younger than what I am.
Yes, you are.
But I really want you to hear something about this Elijah anointing. There are so many idols on this land. So when I did a little bit of research on this, I thought this was amazing because, you know, Elijah asked him to build the altar, which most of you know the story. I probably don't even have to go into the detail of it. But he called every prophet of Baal. At that time, there were 450 prophets that worshiped Baal in Elijah's time. I've given examples to you about going before witches in this area, and there was just a few of them. So if you're really in spiritual warfare and you want that anointing, you need to know how to come against those spirits in your gateway, wherever you're from.
That's right.
You need to really know that God's going to show up and show them that he is greater. There were 400 priests of Ashtaroth. And you know what? They all gathered on Mount Carmel. They built their altars, they killed a bull, they did their sacrificing, they carried the wood, the whole thing. Some of them even got angry. But Elijah rebuilt the altar, he made a trench, he put the wood on it and the bull, he filled it with 4 barrels of water, and he did it 3 times. Now most of us would have done it 1 time, that was it, it didn't work. And the Lord said 3 times he did it. Everything was gone, because what does it say in the word? It said the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering.
Yes.
So whatever's in your life that needs to be taken care of, when you're willing and you give it, the fire is going to fall and burn it up. That's the Elijah anointing.
Yes.
I don't know about you. That's pretty powerful when you walk in, don't you think?
Yes.
And then what about the mentor? I love listening to this. Who he mentored was Elijah, who would even had stronger callings. You know, many of us want other people's positions, other people's callings, but it costs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And you have to be very careful what you ask.
Yep.
Some of us are still in that training and, you know, whatever. But there's a purpose to this mantle. This mantle takes the ashes of our lives and makes them beautiful again. There was a period of time the Lord allowed me to work with many women who were physically abused. And they just felt hopeless. They felt like no worth to them. But once they got to know Jesus, once they got to know how much he loved them, he gave them beauty for those ashes. And then they could go on. And to my amazement, it wasn't just women. There were many men, but men couldn't show their emotion. Men couldn't talk about it. But men go through many things that we go through. They really do. So this Elijah anointing allows you to see how the Lord can give you beauty for ashes. How beautiful is that? The second one is the Issachar anointing. I talked a lot about that. If you want to spend more time into it, it's Deuteronomy 33, verses 18 through 19. But they had discernment. They knew the times. You need to know that, people. You need to know that the Lord is going to show you different things and what to do with it. And you also have to know timing. There's a special timing for everything. And what was amazing, bye guys.
Bye, thank you.
Is that I want you to understand this. There are watchmen on the wall at all times.
Yes. Yeah, there are.
There's always someone praying, just like this message that we got from this lady. I don't know her from Adam. But she's been praying. She intercedes. Don't think that that's a small anointing. That's a powerful anointing to have. And it's something that I really walk in because, you know, you have to have a covering. You have to have people praying for you. The Deborah anointing, the other thing that I really wanted to say was that all unrest that is going on, when we pray and we use his name, justice will take place. Mm-hmm. She was a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much gossip. There's so much garbage out there. I get so sick of it. One of the things, I don't know if Vicki's in here or not, but one of the things I loved about Vicki, it's like when people would say, well, now I want to talk about this person, and blah, 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 and talk about that person. She goes, I ain't being a part of this. She'd get up and leave. I grew to really respect that in her, because she didn't want to listen to it. There will always be people that will cut you down and make you feel worse. And you know what? We don't need to do that as the bride of Christ. We need to lift each other up. And if someone's doing something that you just don't like, it's probably your problem. You need to pray for them and pray for yourself.
Amen.
And the other thing is many, many people in here have been crying out for the unborn. I don't know about you. I've been praying for that Amy gal to take over that Supreme Court, her position in the Supreme Court, because I hope she's going to turn that over, and that's what I'm standing on, praying for the unborn babies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've said it from day one, and I'll still say it, and I've not got reprimanded from the Holy Spirit. I believe every one of those unborn babies are with Jesus right now, just having blessed. I believe they're up there with him. I really do. I believe he takes care of them. They're his anyways. And as a mama, when I was in my 20s, I don't know, was I in my 20s, Joe? I don't know.
No.
I think I was in the 30s when I had my babies on them. But anyways, I remember our pastor, she said to me, she says, Marie, she says, you know, she says, those babies don't belong to you anyways. I said, I beg your pardon? I had those babies. She goes, they belong to the Lord. You have to dedicate those babies to the Lord. You're only their caregiver. Do the best that you can do, but they belong to him. So I love to tell people that. And you know what? If you have that anointing on you, you'll be able to help some of these young mamas understand that. I thought, give my baby back to the Lord. He just gave me this baby. Are you kidding me? You know, I didn't understand it. And they might not understand it either. So you need, if you have that anointing and the Lord wants to give you that, you can help many mamas out there that don't know what to do. I've never read about so many babies being left on a step or in a cardboard box or, oh dear God, it's unbelievable to me. These women, these young women, really need help and guidance from the Lord. And my grandma, who was mom was a preacher's daughter, but my dad's mom, she used to always tell me I had an Anna anointing. So I used to go home and say, Mama, you know what? I got an Anna anointing. And my mom would go, but your name is Marie. Never really understood it till I got older. That means to have that prayer anointing, how powerful that is. If I was the only one sitting in this sanctuary and none of you showed up, I would know I was with my Father. I would know that he was surrounding me with his love and everything was going to be okay. So I told the gals that I didn't have any problem understanding God. I really didn't, because I had a wonderful dad. But when I even get to know God and to know how much he loves us, I just don't have words for it. But you know what? It's like he would pick us up and love upon us even when we were stinkers. Do you know what I'm saying? I used to do this saying, I can't even remember it anymore, but I used to say to everybody, you know, the Baptist would walk by and pray, and Pentecostal would probably throw holy water in there, and, you know, everybody would go by, but Jesus would always walk down to the pit or reach into the pit and pull us up and just hug us. Wouldn't have to say anything to us. Now hold on to that. He loves us that much. And I think if I could ever say anything, it's, I wish every one of you could know that love, because it is so complete. It is so comforting. It just makes you feel like you're really important. And we are with the Lord. So the deeper we get to know him, the more deeper that love comes into us. And there are so many people out there looking to be loved.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know?
Yes.
I love what Rita did. She goes, I'm a hugger. I said, I'm a hugger too. you know, I guess with all this blah, 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 COVID garbage and all this stuff, you know, people just need to be hugged.
Yep.
They just need to be listened to.
Huh.
I think it's so powerful. And the Joshua anointing is getting to know the Holy Spirit, moving and doing what he wants you to do. That's what I want to share with you, is to trust him. I've known him ever since I've been a little girl, 7 years of age. And I just remember this so deeply inside myself was, I'm still getting to know him more and more. And one of the things I loved about Joe, he said, we're not going to put the Holy Spirit in a box.
Amen.
If we get in here and the Holy Spirit just wants to move, well, then that's what we're going to do, is just let him move. If the Holy Spirit just wants to us just to praise, then that's what we're going to do, is praise. You see, I want you to have some of these anointings. I don't know what anointings are for you. It's not for me to know that. But I really believe that as we come up here and we pray for you, that God is going to give you the anointings that you need, that new oil. You just can't function with what is out there, with that old, old oil. And you have to be willing to take that new wine and put it into new skins. And my father used to have tons of grapes, and he'd make his own wine. He did. It was just filled, and he'd give them away. He'd give all this wine away, you know. And truthfully, I used to offend my dad because I wasn't a wine drinker, nor a drinker, or nor do I want to be. And so my dad would go, well, you know, it just wouldn't hurt for you to taste it. I said, no, Dad, I don't want to. And he respected that. But what he told me was that even the bottles, the old bottles, that when you put wine in it, if they weren't taken care of right and stuff like that, or you hadn't let the wine ferment like it was supposed to, it'd just blow that cork right off. So it's like you can't take that old wine and put it into your old stuff. Isn't that cool? And I've done a lot on the wine skins, which I know we don't have time for. But I really wanted you to hear that. And the other thing was, I mentioned about that Esther anointing. Oh my gosh. For such a time as this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means? It means that one of the things I wrote down here was that she had a higher beauty than service. She had a heart for God's people because they were her people. Esther prayed, and she fasted for 3 days. And I said, Lord, okay, so what do you want me to say to your people? And he said this, she consecrated herself. She set herself away from everything. Is that not powerful? Do you know, when we come into that secret place, you know, even as much as I love my husband, as much as, and I'm using him as an example, maybe angry about it, you know, oh my gosh. But I have a purpose in telling you this. We work together, we serve together, we praise the Lord, we do everything. But I have to take and get in that secret place, shut the door, not answer the phone, which ticks people off. And just focus on him. What do you have for me today, Lord? What do you want me to do today? Well, I can't do that. That's what I used to say to Mom and Pop. And somebody else would. But he equips you. He helps you to do certain things that he wants to accomplish. But you have to be willing. Please hear me. You have to be willing to set yourself apart from everything that is going on, especially that idiot box. Especially your cell phones. Especially the phone that you might have in the house. Maybe even your kids. You have to find time that is just you and him. You and him. Well, I work. You got to be kidding me. How am I supposed to find time for that? I want you to know, if you want to be with him, you will find time. You will find time. And over the years, my own children, they used to know that mom's praying, that he won't touch the door. Number two, she entered his courts. Now, sometimes the Lord will have us do a certain thing, and truly, Esther could have been struck dead. Because she was not allowed to go into that courtroom area. And what the Lord showed me was this, that when he reached, he took his, they were going to cut her head off. But when the scepter went down, she touched the very top of the scepter. So what the Lord showed me is when he just touches our shoulder, touches our head, that's all we need, because that is saying, you are my daughter. Oh. I give you permission. I let you go forth. Mm-hmm. A lot of people miss that. A lot of people don't understand what it's about to touch the scepter of the Lord. Truthfully, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what to say. But we are vessels of honor for him. And as his bride, we can all sit at the table. It's not that you're sitting to the right, or that you're sitting to the left, or you're sitting across from him. He's just saying, come to my table. Come spend time with me. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about the 10 virgins. When I hear guys talk about the 10 virgins, I think, oh, Lord. But every one of those 10 virgins knew Jesus Christ. I don't know how many's left in there. Every one of them knew him.
Yes.
They had oil in their lamps, and he didn't show up yet. When Karen kept on going up to this veil, she was looking for him. He wasn't there yet. So five of them left to get more oil. And I used to say to the Lord, well, I would have just given them some of my oil. Well, Lord, why didn't they just, why didn't the girls, the other five girls, just give them the oil? Like, what was the big deal? Aren't we supposed to share? And this is what the Lord said. I expect you to keep your oil filled up in your lamp. And the oil that someone has in their lamp, that's not to be shared with you. You're to keep your own oil in that lamp. And when the oil comes down from heaven, it's golden. It's golden. And the Lord keeps those vessels constantly filled up with that golden oil. And when I first got that vision, I thought, what am I supposed to do with this? You just told me I wasn't supposed to share it with somebody. And the Lord said, I want you to take it, and maybe that golden oil is healing. And you can pour my healing balm on that lamp. You can pour what I give to you and tell you what to do with that, and I will constantly keep those golden oil vats filled up if you're walking and you're listening to me and you hear where I want you to go. I know about you, that's powerful. We have to constantly keep that oil filled by getting in his presence. This is what else he said to me.
Thank you.
You gotta speak up. You gotta shake off all that old stuff that's inside of you. Because warrior brides are victorious. You have to hear his voice. First time I heard Arlene Yoder talk about the voice of the Lord and how sweet it is. And how, I never forgot her talking about how sometimes it's a small, still voice. That's very true. Do you know when you're when you're in a crisis, you don't need someone screaming and yelling at you, do you? You're so devastated. But when you can hear that small, still voice from the Lord, it'll set you free. But I want you to end with this before we pray and everything. The Lord wants you to know how loved you are and how special you are. He wants to give you victory. He wants you to hear his voice, but he wants to give you clarity. Do you know what I mean by that? He means that, you know, sometimes we have a lot of voices coming at us, and you need to know his voice, and he will speak very clearly to you. It's not this, thou, those, these, it's not. He speaks to you, and you know what he's saying to you. And his voice, that when you hear it, you can move out and never move out or out of his timing. If you belong to him, I know he blesses you and he takes care of you. But you know, it sure makes it a little hard. Because you went before the Lord. Before he was ready for you to go out. The other thing I heard was, you've got to rise up, warriors.
Right.
And this is the time now. Not tomorrow. Maybe you're tired, but the Lord is saying, rise up now and believe in his glory, because that's where the breakthrough is. You're to be encouraged and you're to wake up. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Those are the anointings that the Lord placed on my heart. Hallelujah.
How do you spell the first one that you're speaking of, the Zadok or the Zadok?
Oh, Zadok?
Zadok.
Z-A-D-O-C-K. Zadok. He was a king in the Old Testament.
Thank you.
And he believed in God. Zadok. Zadok. Elijah. Because some people say Elijah, and they don't know if it's Elisha or Elijah. This is Elijah. That was the idol. Ishkar. I-S-S-A-C-H-A-R. The Esther. Deborah, Hannah, Anna, and Joshua are the ones that the Lord placed on my heart.
Thank you.
You are his bridegroom. It's time to rise up. No more time, no more goofing off or whatever. And I really feel that the Lord wants you to soar. And I still want to leave that with you, Amos 3:18. Ignite. Ignite with his fire. Stand. He's going before you as that roaring lion. And we are his temple. Praise him. Prayer. Worship him. Spend time with him. That's what he's expecting. Hopefully we've prepared you for what the Lord wants to do. Amen.